Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and we've been running this show, these many interviews, for a number of years now, enjoying people who are on the cutting edge of consciousness around this world. And I have a wonderful guest with me today, Rowan Gabriel, who we met in LA, but is now living in Spain, if you can believe it. And she and her husband, Ayman, are working on something called what is it called? Rowan, first of all, welcome to the show, but is it called intelligence IQ?
No, emotional literacy, which is really the precursor to emotional intelligence, which is sometimes called EQ.
Okay.
But this is really emotional literacy. So it's the kind of the baby steps that you should really be learning when you're a child in an ideal world.
Now, and you have a child, right?
I do.
And you're practicing all of this stuff on your child, are you?
Very much. And it's been, I'm very, very glad that I've been working on this for so long before having him, because it's still the most challenging job I've ever had, being a parent. Challenges every atom of your being, but definitely having these tools is helping him to be a very expressive child. He's amazing with it.
Is that what emotional literacy is, in expression?
It's the ability to recognize, understand, and appropriately express your emotions. So, to be able to just name an emotion and say, I'm feeling really angry, actually gives you the ability to then find out what the messages are from it. Whereas if it's just overwhelming you and you're like swimming in it, then you might want to go and hit someone, or you might want to go and act out on it versus using it as a message or as a feedback from your reality.
Well, what's really interesting about that is I think we all need that, do we not?
Absolutely. And I mean, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to see it, most parents are learning this alongside their children. Hmm. As I said, in an ideal world, this is something that you would learn between 4 to 11. All of the books we've done are targeted towards 4 to 11-year-olds. And you would, walk into your teens with this skill of being able to express, to be able to recognize what's going on inside of you and actually give voice to it and express it.
What's interesting, how long have you been involved with emotional literature, literacy?
25 years.
25 years. And has it changed you before you had your child? Did the study of emotional literacy change you at all?
Absolutely. I met my husband 26 years ago, and he's the person that really coined the term emotional literacy. And he basically, led a very fast-paced, quote-unquote, successful life, in the modern world of like making money and doing well and having a big company and all that kind of stuff, and got to kind of 35 and had such really bad health crisis and divorce and all these crazy things, and they basically led him to his spirituality. And when he found his spirituality, he was told about all the emotions that had kind of created these issues. And he, being a very smart man, delved into these and ended up healing himself without doctors, just by dealing with the root cause, the emotions that had been stuffed in his body that had, turned into cancer. And he, when he went back for a checkup, they were like, oh, we must have misdiagnosed you. After having given him 6 months to live 6 months earlier. So when he realized how profitable it was to deal with your emotions, and how he'd been, he had 2.5 degrees, like he'd, was, according to modern culture, an extremely successful person, and he knew nothing about himself. And he was like, my God, I should have learned this when I was a child. And he immediately turned around and brought in a whole bunch of experts and psychologists and psychiatrists and wrote this, 21 book series to help adults and children learn emotional literacy at 4 to 11-year-olds. So it was one of the things that made me fall in love with him. I was like, wow, this is such a beautiful thing to take something like that, that he realized he should have learned, and then to make it available to the next generation at that time in life.
That's actually brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you, first of all, I know that he used some of that in business, did he not? Wasn't he testing it out on the high end of business?
He's probably most well known for a book that he wrote, which is called Executive EQ, Emotional Intelligence in Leadership and Organizations. And that's in 24 countries, I think 19 languages, and was a bestseller in a couple of countries.
And so what happens when people in the business world study that kind of presentation of their own feelings? Did it affect their business? Did it create better business?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you can imagine it. It creates an environment where there's a lot more ability to create abundance and profit, because you're when people are acting out of greed or jealousy or anger or fear, you're able to, you know, create an environment where you can discuss that and name those things. That's emotional intelligence, to be able to like go, wow, this is really scary to take this next big step, and to be able to face that as an individual or as a team, and then, you know, turn that around. So in that book, in the Executive EQ book, he takes people through what he calls the four cornerstone model. So you first develop emotional literacy, and then you develop emotional fitness, which is the ability to put that into action on a regular basis. So not to just be like, oh yeah, I'm angry, but like, then what do I do with it? Mm-hmm. You know, all of these emotions have a message. Like anger is a message that something is not going the way you want it. So when you look at it as a message, you can look at your reality and go, okay, what is it that's not happening how I want? And you can create change based on that information. We always talk about emotions as really messengers, like, and the we always talk about them as the kind of electricity, the power that powers our lives. So yeah, you move from emotional fitness then to emotional depth. That's when you can come into your true powers and your bigger talents, because you're not scared of your fear and anger anymore. You can dive into the depth of your emotions, which is where your divinity and your grace are much more held. And then you move into emotional alchemy, which is the ability to use your emotions as a transformational energy. So when you're full of rage, to just go and transform it and become full of passion instead, you know, to transform them into their higher alchemical equivalent.
So if people are, for example, competitive with one another, or like in politics and so on, you know, there's a lot of like passive aggression and there's a lot of hidden agendas and so on, that would take care of a lot of that, wouldn't it?
It really would. I mean, we always say it could save us literally trillions of dollars as humanity. Imagine if greed was caught at its root instead of let go, you know, rampant and crazy, like people just stockpiling and going mental, like, oh, I'm experiencing greed right now, like deal with it in the first instant, instead of having to go to the or anger that then becomes rage that ends up in shooting people. Like, mm-hmm. If you'd have caught it at the level of anger and been able to deal with it, you would have avoided all those deaths, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or if the greed comes from fear of not having anything, or, you know, fear of being dominated. No, I love this. This is great. So, and it has had an impact on businesses out there, has it not?
Absolutely. It's now taught in business schools like Harvard, even. It's part of the curriculum now in most of the good business schools. And in fact, every time every now and again, we'll Google and see what's happening with the book, because it came out, I think it was the end of the 90s. But it's used in a lot of business schools and referenced in a lot of business schools all around the world.
Wow. I think it's really exciting because of the health factor that people can, instead of getting stress illnesses, they can be releasing those as they go and feel more powerful. Whoa. So now let's get to kids. Let's talk about, you've got a great plan and you've got a website called feel.org, right?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
But in it, there's quite a plan about getting into the schools and talking to children or teaching children about it. Would you want to talk about that? What is the plan?
I would love to. So, you know, when we first published these 25 years ago, we realized that, A, you know, it wasn't an easy sell because parents didn't know that they needed it, and so they weren't buying it for their kids. And as we've, you know, worked with this over the years, we've realized that really this needs to be a part of the school systems, and the schools that are implementing this have such much better environments and are much easier for the teachers to work within. And so we've created a campaign called No School Left Behind, and it allows parents and individuals to sponsor their local school for a whole package to be sent directly to that teacher. So we're kind of, you know, trying to basically bypass the you know, the curriculum and all the school politics and just go directly to teachers that, you know, hopefully are open to this. So, you know, ideally the parent would talk to the teacher and say, you know, would really love to gift you this. And in it, there's lesson plans from our coalition partners, which are 6 Seconds and HeartMath, that have done, they're two of the biggest organizations in emotional intelligence, and they've done a lot of trainings for kids and for teachers. And then all our emotional literacy books, which include how to handle the 7 basic emotions. And they include like coloring books so that the kids have an experience of actually, at the level of a child, drawing a picture is enough to express your emotion. When you get into your teens and adults, you might need to, you know, punch a pillow or write an anger letter, but you know, it might need to be something else. But at the level of a child, they still can get things out very easily. So we call it an interactive coloring book. Mm. And then there's a parent teacher guide that helps you with, you know, games and exercises that can help the children to express themselves. And then there's a lovely storybook, which they can, you know, just read to the class, in which a child goes through the experience of healing an emotion and going through the stages of expression of that emotion. So it's a very comprehensive 21 book series. And then the lesson plans and the adult books from our coalition partners, and that gets sent straight to the school of your choice. And it's $99 to sponsor a school.
Okay, so it's $99. Now, you and I live in Spain, and I know you go to the UK a lot, and I've met you over here in the US. Which schools, which countries are you practicing this?
We're obviously, you know, you can sponsor any school, but we're focusing it on the US. Mm-hmm. And that's partly just practical because the books were all published there and they're there. But it's also because of kind of galvanized by the crazy number of school shootings this year. And
oh,
the fact,
my Lord, yes. Mm-hmm.
That violence is an emotion that went unchecked for so long, it blew up, you know, and it's in response to that these great organizations, 6 Seconds, HeartMath, and our company, Kids EQ, came together and were like, there is an answer to this, you know, there is a solution, and the solution is prevention. It shouldn't be left to the stage when it blows up. We need to
let me interrupt you for a sec. What is six seconds? I know what HeartMath is, but what is 6 Seconds?
6seconds.org is the world's largest emotional intelligence nonprofit.
Okay.
They are in, I think, 24 countries. They have thousands of people that they've trained in emotional intelligence. They have weekend trainings, week-long trainings, and they train in corporations. They train in schools. They've started a whole school called Synapse in the Bay Area that is based on the principles of emotional literacy and emotional intelligence. So they are about 15 years old. So they've been doing this for a really long time. They also do all the big EQ conferences in, you know, in America and South Africa and Dubai and India. They're very comprehensive in their training of people in emotional intelligence.
That's really exciting. So when you say Africa or South Africa, I'm like, wow, how we're talking about America in a way, but how is it in a country like Africa? Is it accepted exactly the same? Is it just as powerful, or is it more powerful?
Well, their conferences are definitely gaining traction in all of those countries. They you know, they're usually over 100 people in their conferences, obviously depending on the location and how many times they've done it there. So they are very well attended, and there is trainers in all of those countries. I think there's even, you know, more need for it than, you know, in places like that, because there's been so much bigotry and hate, and you know, all of those things come
That's
from
what I'm
emotional.
thinking. Does it cut right through? Can
Absolutely.
the kids be freed? Wow. And do you keep track? Do you write articles or write tests and so on?
They do. 6 Seconds is very, very active. They're always putting out new information and new articles. And they also do this wonderful thing called the Pop-Up Festival, which is for kids that people can, you know, host in different countries. And they've been in over 100 countries now.
Wow.
So they're
Wow.
doing very well with that too. They're super, super active. And they're obviously the perfect partner for this, to start getting it into schools.
Well, Rowan, it sounds to me like people kids would grow up with, or even their parents would be developing empathy and compassion for one another instead of like drawing lines between groups of people.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the worst problems we're facing in society, whether it's drug abuse, disease, dysfunctional relationships, you know, wars, all of those have at their root an emotion that, when unchecked for so long, it's blowing up.
That's true.
It's the root cause, you know, an emotion is the root cause of, you know, whether it's a health disease of, you know, suppressing your anger for so long you end up with cancer, or what, you know, whatever. Those emotions are kind of the root cause of all of our worst ills.
I think it's really, really, it's very exciting. Can you give us some examples of people that made a difference?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at any of the people that you inspire the most, whether it's, you know, Nelson Mandela and his incredible ability to have empathy and bring people together, whether it's Muhammad Yunus with his incredible compassion and, you know, helping people with microloans, like that, these people that have a lot of emotional intelligence are able to do extraordinary things because they're able to meet people where their need is and speak to that, you know. So I think if you look at any of our great leaders, they tend to be people with very high EQ, emotional intelligence.
And who aren't defensive, running afraid all the time.
Yeah, and
or
manipulated.
Sublimated, yeah.
Yeah, and competing with people and all of those. Not that competition is bad if it's done right. I mean, competition is a great thing if it's bringing out the best in each other. But when it goes awry, it becomes, you know, full of jealousy and all of these things. But I think, yeah, any of our great leaders, when you look at them, they're usually extremely emotionally intelligent and emotionally balanced, and have, you know, not that the shit doesn't hit the fan from there. There's nobody that doesn't, you know, get put up against the wall and get depressed here and there, but they have an ability to move through it quickly because they have an emotional agility. I think one of the things as we develop EQ is that we come up with greater and greater emotional agility. Stuff's always going to happen. You know, I think people love to have this myth that, like, you get spiritual and then your life's supposed to be perfect. No way. You know, you get spiritual and you have a great set of tools to deal with stuff. That's as good as that's the good stuff, you know, is having those tools.
Well, and you mentioned earlier that there's electricity in emotions, right?
Yes.
So there is empowerment even when you bring up the more difficult emotions. Am I right?
Absolutely. They are energy in motion. And when we use them as a source of power and magnetism in our lives, they have the ability to attract to us, you know, everything we want. We can transform all those root emotions into their higher octave, and they can bring great, great change and great happiness.
I think it's fascinating. All right, so let's, I'm a grandmother. I have a 13-year-old, and I feel like most of him and his friends are emotionally stifled? Is that the right word? You know, where they're just not expressing? They say,
yes.
Oh, they can't because they're 13. They can't because they're teenagers. I'm going, that's not right. I know that there's something that can be done. And I'm reading up on what you have to offer the schools. And I even suggested maybe I could go into his school, which I know they'll just hate me for. But in any case, so tell me, take a situation like mine or like anybody's. I could be any grandmother or mother, right?
Yeah.
So how do we approach the school? What do we do? What would be the process?
The best thing would be to approach the teacher and share with them the information, which is all on field.org on the sponsor a school, on the No School Left Behind page.
Mm-hmm.
It shows all the literature, and ask them if they would be open to having that to use within their classroom. As I said, it is more this at this point, the information that we have developed is more targeted towards 4 to 11-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be developing more stuff for teens. But ideally, in an ideal world, you would be dealing with fitness in your teens because you would have already learned literacy.
But I know that that isn't so for a lot of the kids that I've seen, that they haven't been dealing with it all along. But you're saying it's better to intercept when they're smaller, huh?
Well, it just gives them that agility as they move forward. And we do have part of the gift when somebody sponsors a school is a quarterly call with one of the trainers at 6 Seconds, where people can actually ask questions and deal with issues that have come up. Because obviously, you know, emotions are a complex realm to navigate and can be very strong in people, especially when there's children that have been abused or had issues. It can be almost slightly scary territory. So we have also part of the package is also a support system.
Okay. Oh, that's great. So when I pay the 99, I'm not really talking about me. I'm just saying hypothetically a person pays in the $99 to what would I say to introduce this project to the schools? And then the person would continue to make sure it was going. Is that right? And support it?
Yes. That is the absolute ideal, is for the parent or person interested to be kind of like a champion of it within their local school.
Hmm. So now what about little kids? If you're going to wait till 4th grade? No, you said
age
4 or 11-year-old. You didn't say
age
grades.
4 to 11.
Yeah.
So
okay.
As soon as they kind of have that ability to reason and to think through things, which kind of comes around 4, then that's when we start introducing it.
I think it's absolutely marvelous. And so how is it different in different countries? What do you find? Do you find that you're mostly coming into the U.S., but if you're going to like Africa, or have you ever tried like Syria or places where there's an awful lot of heat?
Yeah, well, we do have, you know, this is a nonprofit, and our long range goals are actually to work directly in Syria. But that would be much more with helping to heal trauma. So that would, you know, I mean, obviously literacy would be a part of that, but they need a whole bunch of healing before they can even think about the literacy element, just because of what they've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And HeartMath and 6 Seconds are both developing programs for specifically for trauma.
Oh, that's excellent. That's really good to hear. So I bet your son is growing up with some pretty wide awake attitudes, isn't he?
He is, and he sometimes really surprises us with, you know, we'll kind of just with the things he comes out with, you know, like his ability to say why he acted some way, like when we can't even see it, you know, like, well, maybe like the other day we were getting angry with him because he was like, his pride wouldn't let him kind of admit something. Mm-hmm. And then when we kept talking to him about it, we realized that actually it was because he was scared of someone, and that the issue that he'd been proud about wasn't even the issue, but he was able to drill down and kind of explain to us where that had come from. Like, he had the vocabulary to say, like, actually there might be some kids there that bullied me a few years ago, and that's why you know, I'm scared of going to, it was a party that he was invited to. But, you know, if we hadn't have drilled down and if he hadn't have been able to voice that, we would have got stuck thinking he was just being, you know, being a brat kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful to see those fruits when they come, when he is able to really express himself. And he is certainly a very expressive young man.
Well, he's growing up with it. Isn't that the best? Isn't that what we really want?
That's what we really want. And, you know, as I said before, being a parent is the most challenging job of certainly I've ever experienced. And, you know, you make mistakes every day. But having this language, you know, there's times when he's told me things and I'm like, oh, like, you know, that he's mad at me because of something I said. And I've just been like, oh, my God, you're so right. I guilt tripped you. I am so sorry. And just to be able to, you know, apologize. So it was a 4 when he first did that. And he, you know, nailed me. I was like, I had, you know, tried to expedite him out of guilt and make him be quick, you know, mm-hmm. and he was mad at me for it. And he was able to tell me why he was mad at me. And I was
wow.
just like, oh, and I could immediately just apologize, you know. And as soon as I apologized, it was all gone. He wasn't mad. I wasn't mad. We just carried on with our lovely day.
Isn't that marvelous? So very few allow when the parent, I find it interesting because when a parent is wound up about something or worried that the child isn't behaving or whatever it is that gets us all in a knot, then we don't really hear their side very well anyway, and we don't actually know what we're doing anymore, do we?
No.
That's what you're trying to do, is break into that trance so that people do know what they're doing, whether they're little or big.
Absolutely, and to give people a language, that is why we call it a literacy. Because it really is. It is something that you actually can learn in the same way as you learn your A, B, C, and that allows you to read words. You can learn to read and express and understand your emotions, and that allows you to get the messages from them versus being carried and swayed and taken and you know, by them. Not that that might happen for a while. Of course, you know, something happens and you have a good old cry. But then you can actually sit down and kind of decode it and make a change in your life based on what you decoded.
No, that's great. Do you have any video games that teach it as well?
We are in the process. That will be our next, it's our next project.
Oh,
we're in
wow.
the process of getting funding in to take these into apps that we will then not only create, but also translate into all languages.
And I think that's absolutely brilliant, because that's where you get their attention. Also movies, eh?
Yes, we've done 2 movies, Magic Boat and Palooka, one about fear and one about loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done 3 13-part television series that were EQ-based, but we did them some time ago. They all aired many years ago. On Warner Brothers, with Warner Brothers and Sony. So we've done a lot in this realm. We've been in this for a very long time.
So 3 13-part TV series, is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
And are they easy to get hold of?
Unfortunately not. You know, the way these companies work, they were on HBO, they shelve them and they don't bring them back. But I do hope at some point we may be able to buy back the rights and reuse them and put them onto, make them internet television.
Yes,
we'll
because
see.
Right now, I mean, it's just so crazy how much media is taking over these children's influence. That bothers me a great deal, because they learn a lot about the competition and violence and so on through that, do they not?
Oh, my God. I mean, some of the things that Aslan finds on you know, YouTube or Netflix, like the Barbie movie. I mean, it's just all, you know, it's a series and it's all Barbie and her friends talking to each other. And it's so bitchy. You know,
wow.
Some of the shows are just so absolutely base. You know, it's really extraordinary. And they're quite useful for teaching, because, you know, we discuss them. So I do let him watch them, but not like exclusively and not without comment.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think it's very interesting talking about that, because I feel like they often set the tone for the, you know, how people are out there in the community. And I get so irritated by that. It's like, wow, we're debasing. The heart of people, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so I really like the idea of you doing video games as well, just because you get right in there where they're really excited to be.
Yeah, we're really looking for the right, we're right now looking for the right partners to do those kind of things with, because, you know, again, the video games, I mean, I watch a lot of them. I don't let Aslan have a console in the house, but he loves watching them on YouTube, watching other people play. Mm-hmm. And so I'll sit and watch them with him sometimes. And again, they're very, very base. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all really the same. It's just kind of war based mainly. It's just get the baddies and get the loot. You know, gather the coins, and there's not a lot to them.
But what's your sense? I know you and Ayman are both very conscious people. What is your sense? Is the consciousness of our society wanting to change? Because I think it is. I think there's a movement going on that humanity does want to make some switches here.
I think it is time, and that's why, you know, we have launched this at this time, is because we feel people are finally starting to look for this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. As I said, we first published our books 25 years ago, and it has, you know, people have not known that they wanted it. Whereas now you can say emotional literacy and people have they might not know exactly what it means, but it makes sense to them.
They don't think it's strange.
No, 25 years ago, it was like emotional. Well, you know, so I think, you know, wonderful people like Oprah and EQ's been in Time Magazine. And, you know, it's something, the meme is out there. Mm-hmm. And I think it is the time in history when people are going to start realizing that those inner personal tools, that our inner life is so crucial to the quality of our external life.
Yeah, whether it's your physical, mental, or emotional health. Mental
exactly.
health, this is the other thing, is mental health is a really big issue in this country right now.
Huge. Yeah.
And I feel like what you're talking about, the emotional literacy, is fundamentally a healer for that.
I agree with you.
You know, I know there's more other complications as well, but I really go, wow, that could help a lot of people. So we pay the $99, for which you get a plethora of books and so
support.
On. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you asking for the schools to pay the $99, or does somebody come in and just take it?
We're asking for parents and concerned individuals to sponsor their local school, because the whole school system and their budgets, and, you know, the teachers aren't super well paid. They don't have the bandwidth to add this. Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to create a grassroots movement where people, you know, as individuals wake up and realize the incredible value of these tools for the next generation, that they actually step up and just go like, we're going to sponsor our local school, and we're going to make sure that this gift is received and valued by the teachers in that local school. So it's a long-term vision. We're not expecting it to happen overnight. And there is also on feel.org a declaration for emotional literacy, which we would love all of you and your listeners to sign, because that is something that we will present to schools and governments, asking that emotional literacy be included in our curriculum in the years to come and considered as equal to intellectual intelligence, which it absolutely should be, equal in importance.
So you're saying to go on to feel.org and sign into the declaration. Is it a declaration of it becoming a mainstay or a part of our educational process? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's requesting that it be taught in our schools worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it be, I think the reference also of, for example, school shootings, the amount of violence that can be offset by this kind of program is really amazing, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. And you'll see when on the site, the declaration is called 1 Million to Feel. And there's some quotes from people that specialize in bully prevention and stuff like that. And she talks about the difference in schools where some kind of emotional literacy, they may not call it that yet, but some kind of emotional education is present. And where it's not, the difference, she says, is night and day.
Really?
In what she's able to accomplish there. Yeah.
And she who she to, is? She's the teacher?
She's a bully prevention expert. So she travels, she's called into different schools to help sort out incidents and work with students and educate students. Hmm. So she works with, you know, hundreds of different schools. She's not tied, she's not affiliated with a single school. So she's been in and out of school, all different districts and counties across the US. You're in England is counties.
But is it happening in England as well?
We don't have the school shootings like we do in the States.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of bullying. Mm-hmm. Too much bullying, and always has been. England is rife with it.
And the bullying is really because people are, let me see, how would we put it? How people are feeling badly about themselves and they try to be overpower others that might have advantage. Is that it?
Coming from their own insecurities and fears and jealousies and greeds. I mean, there's different bullies have different emotional matrix, but yes, all of those.
I think it's interesting. You say it's gone on for a long, long time, and I'm going, because I keep staring at it going, what is the deal about bullying? When we were children, and of course I'm 100 years old now, but when we were children, that was not allowed in the schools. It just wasn't allowed, right? And well, that's something I don't understand, that it's so rampant, even though it's been expressed all over the place, you know. But this is a solution. So you say it's been on Oprah as well?
Oprah has done a lot of shows about, she's only touched on emotional literacy, but she's done a lot of shows on emotional intelligence, and she's done a lot of shows on conscious parenting. And we would, you know, say that arguably emotional literacy is the corner, you know, is one of the cornerstones of conscious parenting.
Mm. I'm making some notes here. I'm aware that I think it was Iman, I was listening to some of the YouTubes that are up, but that it is actually better in business in terms of the lucrativeness of the business when there's conscious emotions, the emotional literature is used in business, even high-end business, right?
Absolutely.
That's also something to throw into the mix for kids to grow into, you know.
I think it gives them so many more tools going forward into their lives to be able to be agile with their emotions and to, you know, your emotions really guide you if you let them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're there to show us what we want, to show us what we don't want, to guide us. They're our messages, mm-hmm. you know. So when we're in touch with them in that way, then they really can empower our lives in a very significant and beautiful way.
Yeah, because most of the you know, people that I work with who are very ill and so on, a lot of it is always, there's always an emotional storage underneath whatever the illness is, right? Where people refuse to feel their feelings. So, and you said earlier that there's a lot of energy where we have emotions. It's all related, isn't it?
It is. And it's all, well, it, with illness, it's usually an emotional stagnancy. So it's something that we've kind of suppressed for so long. And our, you know, our liver or our kidneys or our pancreas has been holding on to it for us until we're ready to deal with it, kind of, you know, hoping.
Right.
And it just gets to the point where it can't take it anymore and ends up as a health crisis. And helps us to process it through that. I mean, our body is a wonderful partner in that way, in helping us to process what we're unable to process consciously. But hopefully, as we grow and learn, we can process more consciously and not require our bodies to process so much for us.
I think that's wonderful. But that's called waking up. We're just waking up, are we not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, to use our body. Also games and so on. What about games? It seems like it would be really fun to apply games to it. I bet you've done that already.
We have one that we have in development, which
I
takes
didn't
you
mean
to
electronic games. I mean just games in
physical
general.
games. Yeah,
Yeah.
game board. It takes that deals with the seven emotions. Yeah, it's been prototyped quite a long time ago, and we're just kind of pulling it back out because we feel that it's time that the world would be more ready for that type of a game.
And I think that when you're talking, like you say, competition can be healthy. But when you're playing, for example, a board game, the competition could be at getting to our emotional clarity as opposed to getting against each other, right?
Well, the true meaning of competition is to bring out the best in each other. And what's best in you and what's best in me is going to be different. But I can spar against you. And if you're, more brilliant than me at that, you up my game, by sparring against you. It used to be literally sparring, whether it be with swords or
Gladiators.
whatever, out each other's agility. So yeah, competition is a beautiful thing if done again consciously.
Yeah, I know. And we all look at the world political situations. I go, oh my. Sometimes it's such nasty, evil stuff of
Bitch,
people
I know.
trying to get into power. I'm
The
going.
backstabbing and the bitchiness it's really, you're just like, wow, that's like schoolyard stuff. You're really still playing that game?
Yeah, but the other thing is that it sometimes is really criminal because they work against each other and they pay behind the scenes and you just don't know what you're dealing with. I'm going, maybe this could change it. Maybe it could change it a lot if people didn't get to the top through a fear-based drive, that had to knock everybody else off the ladder sort of thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, look at what people that have really faced their fears. Again, someone like a Mandela, look at the impact that they're able to have, and that's just one emotionally intelligent person. So I think the more that all of us as humanity become more emotionally intelligent, more emotionally agile, we have the ability to change the outcome of so much in our society and in our culture.
I find it's very exciting. So what do you think gave Nelson Mandela, for example, the ability to keep that emotional intelligence, even though he was so suppressed and repressed and,
Of course, no one can speak for him, but I think the time that he spent in prison in his early years, he faced his shadow, and it was because really it was when he came out and he'd had to do that introspection and kind of look in that his real brilliance came to light, and became the exceptional leader that he was in his later years. But I think, not on purpose, but he really gave himself this solitary, and there is a lot of people that have managed to do that out of something like a prison sentence. They've treated it as a monastery moment in their lives, and they've come out as much greater people than they went in as, and have turned all of that to good, because you don't have anything else to do when you're there except go in and face your shadow. And I think people like him were so great because they have realized that the darkness is inside of them, and when they see it, they have compassion because they've seen it in themselves,
It's just
I mean,
that enforced self-discovery, self-inquiry, isn't it?
yeah, and I think that, I was saying to a friend today, if I had not become, I used to judge, parents very badly as a non-parent, people that would beat their children or, do things like that. And then now I'm a parent, I'm like, I have the most extraordinary amount of training and all of this stuff. And there's times when I want to hit my child. I don't, because I have, a high level of consciousness and awareness to myself. But if I didn't have that, I would hit him. And it has given me so much compassion for people that have not had the extraordinary, basically whatever you want to call it, but luck and gifts that I've had in my life that have given me these teachings before I had my child, that managed to, you know, make me rein myself back when I'm in that moment of just utter contempt for him because he's being such a brat. And, you know, so I don't hit him, but God, I suddenly have compassion for the people that do, for what they're up against and how they're living. And when you're stressed with money and space and relationships and all of these things, like, suddenly I have so much more compassion for parents. And I'm like, wow, we really need to share these tools.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really a brilliant, well said, Rowan. That was really excellent. And having compassion for one another is the route to some sort of healing anyway, isn't it? For some peace, world peace.
Yeah, because you don't do things like that unless you're up against the wall and you don't have tools to deal with it.
That's right. And we have and I always drop back into this, and terrible diet.
Yes, which just does not allow you to think right. Because if you don't give your brain proper nutrition, it the thinking stays very base.
Yeah, and also if you're afraid and then you're eating junk, you're going to have like a cat on a hot tin roof kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very excited about this work you're doing. And why 21 books? Is it because they're all different?
It's because we did seven emotions. So we did what we call the kind of seven primary emotions. So obviously anger, fear, and jealousy are really what we refer to as the three root emotions of humanity. They're the most common emotions that affect our actions on a day-to-day basis. And we, you know, we go in and out of all of them depending on the situations we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And then loneliness, grief, hurt, and guilt. So there's seven emotions, and then each one has the parent teacher guide, the interactive book for the children, and the story book. So there's three books to each emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And we have in development love, joy, and shame. And obviously we won't stop there. This is a part of our life's work. And we're always looking for people to work with. So anyone listening, do get in contact if you have materials.
You mean to add to your supplies?
Yeah, we want to, there's a shop on the field.org website that, mm-hmm. that has all good emotional literacy and emotional intelligence tools. And we're always wanting to grow that resource for, you know, for the community to have resources and to be able to find resources in one place.
And I think that's brilliant. And also, slightly changing the subject, you sent me some memes that you have, and these are beautiful pictures, and all of them have different, just a sec, see if I can bring them up while we're talking. Changing the world through emotional literacy. You've got all these beautiful picture ones. Create a thriving future by ensuring every child is taught emotional literacy. Today's children will need to stay balanced and in charge of themselves and their emotions in this fast-paced and challenging world. And on it goes. And these are really beautiful. You called them memes. They're beautiful pictures with the writing that help. So these are a part of your what?
Those are a part of our viral campaign, and you can find them on the field.org Facebook page or on our Instagram, which is emotional literacy, and obviously on our website as well. And please share them far and wide. I consider them the basic truths of what emotional literacy is. For example, one of the things it is the source of your self-esteem. When you know how to handle yourself, then your self-esteem is far more intact.
Mm-hmm.
It is language of relationships. How do you relate to each other? You relate with your emotions. So that's why I call it the basic truths of emotional literacy. And we've just put them into all these one-liners and pictures so that people start getting the idea of what those two words, emotional literacy, mean, mm-hmm. and what the gift of learning that literacy are.
Yeah, I love it. Right now I'm looking at one that says lack of emotional literacy is the root cause of dysfunctional relationships. Boy, do we need to learn about dysfunctional relationships these days, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm very excited about what you're doing, and I sure hope you are. I think you are.
But thank you so much for your excitement, because it always keeps us going when people, you know, get what we're doing.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. So I will be joining up. Do you then
Great.
Send all the books, or how do we get those?
Yeah, we post them to the, you know, you just put in the address of the school, or, I mean, obviously you don't have to order them for a school. Individuals can order them for themselves, of course. Mm-hmm. But they kind of belong in schools just because it's such a comprehensive training, and then they can reach a lot of kids instead of just one family. But yeah, they're just posted directly to them.
I think that's just so wonderful. Well, thank you, Rowan, Gabriel, and you and Iman. I so appreciate your work helping. Actually, it's world peace you're working on, isn't it? And the evolution of our species through emotional literacy. That's how it looks to me.
Yeah, it is. These are core tools for humanity to evolve itself, I think. I do believe that they, I mean, I call it a basic human right, because I believe it is a basic human right to know yourself. If you don't know yourself, how do you choose your work? How do you choose your partner? How do you, you know yourself? Bible.
And people say to me, it's not all about you, you know, and I go, well, actually, it is.
Yeah.
Nobody else is going to figure that part out, right? How do I feel? What do I do with it?
Figure it out for you. Exactly. There is a level at which, you know, you have to equip yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a life. It's more than a lifelong process of learning who you are and what you are. Well, this is Veronica Entwistle saying, is I'm so delighted to have spoken to you, Rowan, and I know that you've helped a lot of people, and I am recommending that people go into feel.org and at least sign the declaration, if not order the $99 connection with this and schools and books and hopefully video games eventually and so on, right?
Thank you so much, Veronica.
It's wonderful to connect with you again. Thank you.
You too.